Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 26th of August, recording at 9:15 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, because yesterday was a holiday in the UK, there was no audio on Monday. But as you probably know, Wall Street was fairly weak on Monday, and that caused weakness in Asia and also in the European markets. But they rallied back as the day progressed, and Wall Street actually closed out with some very small gains in here today. Elsewhere, there wasn't a whole lot of drama. The dollar was very strong early on, then gave up some of its gains, particularly against the Canadian dollar, when the prices of natural gas and crude oil rallied, particularly natural gas, as there are concerns over a storm off Haiti that's likely to develop into a hurricane and head towards the Gulf. Dollar is still up, touched new highs here today on the U.S. dollar index. But despite those, that pushed down the precious metals early on in the day, and we had some real volatility there. Gold got down to 807.33, and then was up to 829, nearly 830. Currently at 824.57. So the precious metals closed up with some modest gains here today, despite that U.S. dollar firmness. So oil being the bigger influence overall. Okay, so what's going on here generally? Well, in stock markets, fear still rules. The bond prices are still quite firm. I think people are slightly more relaxed about the commodity price inflation. But as I've said in all my other audios recently, that the economic effects of the oil spike do last for some time. So it's really monitoring the stats for economic growth, and that's slowing everywhere. And that is what is worrying stock market investors at the moment as much as anything. Then there are the uncertainties over the credit crisis that roll. And you see this in the papers every single day. The good news, which we hear less of, is the fact that there is a lot of cash on the sidelines. And although all these stock markets are in overall downward trends, they are just holding on recent lows in most instances. Now, in Asia, a couple of developments. That India remains generally firmer than, well, it's firmer than just about everything except Vietnam. And Vietnam has had this impressive 50% recovery since its lows only, what was it, 2 or 3 months ago. And it's still way off the highs, of course. I don't think it, I do like Vietnam, as you will realize from earlier comments, well, most of you will. Vietnam is one of the markets that I rate most highly in terms of its longer-term potential, along with China and India, Brazil, among the commodity producers. Vietnam is a newer emerging market, so that means it's more volatile, a higher beta, as they say, but that also, when times are good, leads to the best gains of all, more often than not. So, but it's a very interesting performance. I don't think that it can sustain it on its own, and the China leash effect is still negative, and the Wall Street leash effect, which had a brief respite in that rally from mid-July, has rolled over in here recently. The financials in the U.S. are hanging, again, having rolled over, on the charts, are clinging to the lower side of their recent recent trading range is still well off the lows, but this rollover pattern that I described, they're just clinging to the lower side of that by tenter hooks. So there's a lot of nervousness around still, and I mentioned I trust the preponderance of overall downward trends. So we're going to have to be patient in here for a while longer. I think one can nibble in favored areas on setbacks, but I certainly wouldn't do anything too aggressive. And what I think will be an important catalyst is when we see central banks shift away from fighting inflation to targeting GDP growth, and in other words, trying to boost GDP growth. I think that we will see that in the next few months, but again, the concerns, the problems are going to rumble on for a while longer, not least concerning corporate profits, which I feel have been too optimistic and will disappoint more often than not. So again, we can only deal with the realities that markets provide, and the current environment is still somewhat precarious. Okay, what about elsewhere? Precious metals, again, we have this sort of deflationary psychology. Now, I have had a lot of emails saying, well, aren't we going to see a serious deflation? Or people sending me articles saying that we're going to see a serious deflation. Well, we could, if the monetary authorities really botched it. But I doubt they will. And that would be an almost suicidal act. But as I've said before, central banks would welcome a deflationary scare. And I think that's what we're actually getting. Yes, there are deflationary forces there. We have the burst house price bubble. So house prices, certainly in the West and in other parts of the world as well, are declining. And the credit crisis, the very high borrowing costs, despite the Federal Reserve having lowered the federal funds rate down to 2%, nevertheless, borrowing costs continue to move up, or banks don't want a loan. So that adds deflationary forces into the economy, which can exist side by side with the food inflation and the energy price inflation. But in terms of annualized statistics, food inflation is going to be peaking, and we'll see lower food inflation official statistics for what they're worth next year. And my own view also is that the oil price will be heading lower before it eventually heads higher once again. Now, against that background, I would not expect gold to do a whole lot until the dollar is seen to have topped out in this current phase where we still see dollar firmness generally. And as long as the dollar is going to go up, that's going to be a strong headwind for gold. A lot of people say that deflationary pressures are bullish for gold. Well, if that's true, it would only be on a relative basis. I don't think gold is expensive at $800, but equally, I wouldn't be surprised if it just ranged around. And I don't expect it to sustain anything big on the upside anytime soon. Now, you might think, well, isn't there anything that looks interesting? Well, there always are things that look interesting. I do feel that there's some real value in stock markets, although the timing is not yet saying buy, 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 or suggesting buy, 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 in terms of purchasing. And I had some interesting feedback on the soybean and corn crops today. And this was from the man who knows the man who really has been stomping around the fields and examining the plants in the US very, very carefully and closely and knowledgeably. And while the crops may look to be okay in some respects, certainly not all of them. Remember, we had the late plantings, and evidently, this will hardly be a surprise, but with late plantings, particularly with a crop like soybeans, you don't get as high a yield, even though the plant may look okay. And also, evidently, a lot of the pods are down near ground level, and therefore they're more prone to disease. Some of them are even resting on the ground. The plant may even shed some of those immature pods. So, and then with corn, again, the stalks might be quite high, but the actual kernels in the ear of corn are well. It's not a full ear of corn, and therefore the yield is likely to be lower than the government is currently estimating. That's the feedback that I've had, and it's from a source that's been pretty reliable in the past, and one that I have a lot of confidence in. But it's what the market expects, and the feedback that I've been getting on this is that the market is overly optimistic. The U.S. government is overly optimistic about the actual crop, and we want to see what's released though in the next two reports. The next USDA report is on September 12th, and our friend on this says that yields for both soybeans and corn will be down, and the next one, the crop report, will be on the 10th of October. I'll write a little bit on this tomorrow probably. And yields are, well, that's the more important crop report coming that late in the season. One other factor that was mentioned to me is that in the growing regions that the crops have not had enough moisture recently. Remember, the plantings were late because of all the flooding, and then all that mud sort of baked hard, and there's been insufficient moisture recently, and the nights have been cold, and that hasn't helped growth at all. So, as I say, our friend was seeing this as a very serious problem for U.S. crops, and he expects corn and soybeans to have some very explosive upward moves towards the latter part of this year and probably into the early part of next year. We'll keep an eye on those on those charts for corn and soybeans. And I think that's pretty much it. As I say, I'll write something on that tomorrow because it's hard to recall it all otherwise. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.